Hi, and welcome to the Win-Win Podcast. I am your host, Shauna Simelong. Join us as we dive into changing trends in the workplace and how to navigate them successfully. Recent research from Sales Enablement Pro's State of Sales Enablement Report found that organizations with dedicated enablement efforts report a 9 percentage point increase in average win rates compared to those that do not. So why is enablement mission critical for organizations today? Here to discuss this topic is Ryan Kolofsky, the Senior Director of Sales Enablement at Calderos. Thank you for joining us, Ryan. I would love for you to tell us about yourself, your background, and your role.
Sure. Thanks for having me. So my name is Ryan Kolofsky. I'm in Tampa, Florida. I work for a company called Calderos.
Calderos is a software company that helps find drug discount noncompliance by working directly with drug manufacturers, payers, and covered entities, and we help limit costly noncompliance in Medicaid and the 340B programs. Our ultimate goal is to increase transparency with drug discount programs and build trust in these programs.
It's kind of complicated. It's a very complicated market, but that's what I do. And I have about 20 years of learning and development training, and started out as, you know, regular trainer, then moved up into L&D and learning development. And then I was on the kind of the cuff of when sales enablement became a thing. It was not even a call to sales enablement. I think my first job was called a sales enablement officer. And I worked for a software company at the time. And they were realizing that they were spending most of their learning and development budget on the sales team. It was being sucked up by the sales team. So I think someone got a great idea somewhere and said, hey, let's dedicate a person that just works strictly with learning development, but geared towards the sales team. So never look back. That was probably about 10 years ago, and growing up through the ranks and seeing a lot of things. So happy to be here.
Welcome, Ryan. Now, I'd love to start off by understanding, why is enablement a mission critical function at any organization?
Well, I think it's the bridge between everything. We usually sit in the middle. I used to call it like I'm a liaison between sales and marketing, but it's grown much more than that over the years. It's become a liaison between marketing, sales, product, sometimes HR when you get into onboarding and stuff like that. But I think it's getting the salespeople up to speed and as quick as possible from the minute they get in the front door to the time they're selling that first deal and making revenue for the company. And we basically work with marketing. And one of the things I can see is mission critical is like marketing. When I first came into many organizations, they would build out a piece of content. They would build out a white paper or an email template, and they would release it to the sales team at like a sales meeting. And it got looked at for like 10 minutes. And then it just got filed in the back of their sales cabinet and then never got used again. So one of the main things I think for it makes it so critical is when marketing spends all that time on the great content that they're putting out there, that we take the time to not only show it to the salespeople, but train them on it, give them an easy system where they can find it and when they need it the most. And one best part about sales is just having the right content, the right time, and the right knowledge. And I think it helps tie that all together.
Fantastic. Now, in your opinion, what does good enablement look like? And in other words, what are some of the key components of an effective enablement strategy?
It's an orchestrated strategy to equip sales teams and the tools and the knowledge they need to engage with potential customers at the right time effectively. I think it includes everything. It includes not only getting the marketing material in their hands quicker so they can get it out to customers or they can promote it for customers, but it's getting the product knowledge they need, building on customer personas so they're trained up and they know how to talk to the different people in the different industries they're working into, and old school objection handling, being able to overcome those objections and giving them the right things to say at the right time.
Absolutely. Now, you were familiar with HighSpot in a previous role, which led you to bring it on when you joined Calderos. Why was HighSpot a must-have for your enablement tech stack?
It was actually a must-have for me. When I was recruited to Calderos, I said, how soon can I get HighSpot, or how soon can I get a platform to help me out? I had just had it at multiple companies before Calderos, and it was the same use cases. You walk in, everything's on either OneDrive or G Drive, and it's all over the place. And documents are out of date. They're using the wrong content. You have no learning development system that's not only like an LMS, but a learning system that's geared towards sales. And there's a lot that goes in that versus a regular learning system. And it's a great a training and coaching platform. Outside the HR initial onboarding, we had nothing. So I built that from scratch and used HighSpot all along.
I'd love to hear that. Now, getting buy-in for a new tool can be tricky. How did you partner with your sales and marketing teams to gain buy-in for investing in an enablement platform?
I think the buy-in I had actually, my boss had also used HighSpot at one other organization. So the buy-in from there was really, really great. My product marketing person, which is like my right-hand person, believed in it from the very beginning. So it was like a concerted effort. So I think getting buy-in too from the sales reps is having an easy system, having something that they can use and be timely with, but also it comes from senior management. If I am very in tune with my sales leaders, and it helps when the sales leaders are constantly pushing them back to a system or pushing them to take their training in the system or to go back and, hey, did you look at HighSpot first? You know, don't come to me. And that's really, really helped with the adoption. I think the buy-in though is when they first start using it and they really realize the benefit they can get out of it. They just keep coming back and back.
I love that. Actually, that segues really well into my next question, because since implementing HighSpot, you've achieved 86% adoption of the platform, which is amazing. What are your best practices for driving adoption?
I think it's like I said before, it has to do with the senior management. You've got to get them involved. I mean, it's the point where I've even had the CEO pushing HighSpot and go look for it at HighSpot. And I think the adoption comes from once you're getting them there to make it resourceful to them, to make it something they can use. I've been at other organizations where I've gone in and redone platforms, and because there was no adoption, and once you've worked on it and making it easier for them to find stuff in there, they definitely will come back. And there's also, like I said, forced adoption. there's the senior leadership, you know, pushing them back. And what I mean by that is if they have a sales deck in the original up-to-date one is on HighSpot, and when a rep comes to them and says, hey, do you have that sales deck that I'm looking for? They don't send it through an email. They don't send it through regular, you know, Slack. They send it through them the link either to HighSpot to find it, or the question goes right back to them. Have you looked in HighSpot? And I think that has really, really helped.
Absolutely. Another key win that I had heard about within Calderos is that you have driven a massive increase in pitch adoption through a training that you actually delivered at your sales kickoff this year, which has led to a 5x improvement in buyer engagement. Can you tell us about this program and its impact?
Yeah, sure. So at sales kickoff, we're very fortunate to have Jonathan, who works for HighSpot, lives in Chicago, where our company's based out of. So he was able to stop by at our SKO. And we did about a two-hour workshop on pitching and introducing it to the teams. And I think one of the biggest things is that led to the increase was we had some early wins right off the bat. We've had people sending out pitches to companies, and where they're not opening emails, they're opening these up and they're looking at the content. And I think you find those wins and you publicize those throughout your organization. And then other salespeople, they love it when another person has success and they want the same success. So, well, how'd you do that? What'd you do? Show me how to do it. You know, so I think that was one of the things. And also I can say is never give up pushing pitching because there is many a times where I said, oh man, they're going to use outreach. They're going to use this. They're going to use that. And it's getting them almost out of their comfort zone to try something new. But I think a lot of people maybe get discouraged too early and they just let the salespeople keep doing it their own way. I was adamant about it so much that, you know, my team used to call me the HighSpot guy. And every single time I'd be like, use a pitch. It looks more professional. It's a better way of getting them. And it just pushed them so much that they finally would end up using it. And we would offer spiffs around people getting their emails opened up or their pitches opened up and people who got view content. And you, like I said, you got a couple quick early wins with that. And we just kept on and reused those templates and reused the pitches for the team. You know, we also had sharing of best practices, like they would share pitches in between each other. So I think that really helped out that.
I love that. And I know that Obviously, the training component played a key role in the success of the initiative and continuing to drive that education to your base around the importance and the value of this. And you actually increased active learner rates by 71% with training and coaching in HighSpot. Can you share your best practices for delivering effective training in HighSpot?
Yeah, I would say, again, always be aligned with your sales leadership, or asking constantly the reps, what do they need? What's going to make them successful? And I think too many enablement people, but too many people in general, when they're dealing with a sales team, they think they know what they need and what they want. And they fail to ask the team, hey, let's have a round table. Let's talk about it. What do you guys need? What do you want to train on? Where are your gaps? And then aligning with them makes it important training to them and makes it very interesting to them. You can, you know, take a shot in the dark and hope you hit the point. And if no one goes into your training, or they go walking away from the training, getting nothing out of it, that's your fault because you didn't include them and you didn't ask them what they wanted to be trained on. I think you always have to provide value to the reps when they go in there every single time. I update the front page of HighSpot with, I have a learning development page with new courses coming out, new courses we've assigned. And every single time they go in there, hopefully they find something valuable or it's up to date with the current problem they're trying to solve. Keeping materials up to date, always, always keep it exciting and interactive. One of the main things I love about the training and coaching is the ability for them to record themselves and send that out for feedback from their sales leadership. And I think that was one of the key things that I was looking for when, before even HighSpot didn't have a training and coaching platform. And when I was the first one of them to use it. And the reason why I really adopted and used it very quickly is because they got that aspect to be able to, I mean, they record their sales pitch, not a pitch, but their sales pitch, and send it to their peers and get feedback from not only their sales leadership, but from their peers as well. Also creating certification programs. I think that was a huge hit. Before I came to Calderos, we had no onboarding, so we built that from scratch. But we also didn't have any, what would I say, post-onboarding, when they're finally getting into the real world and they're pitching customers. And we have a certification program now that they have to do a live presentation and record it. And then it's sent to leadership. It's sent to senior leadership for review. Then we do another, after they do the recording, then we have a session live where they have to pitch the as far up as the CEO, and they get certified in their first call pitch certification. But we've grown on that concept along the way, where we have certifications like demo certifications, we have persona certifications. So I think that really keeps them coming back.
I love that. You alluded to this just a moment ago, but you were one of the original beta users for HighSpot's training and coaching functionality, and you've really grown into a power user. What advice maybe do you have for other people that are just getting started in training and coaching?
This is my favorite one. So when I first started in training and coaching, I was all about making lessons and making courses, right? I would put together these great courses or great lessons and they would go through them. But I really never saw the value, or I missed the value, I should say, in creating plays, sales plays. Because I can't tell you how many times that I've done a great training, I think it is, hopefully, and the sales rep said, hey, there was that great article that was in that training. Where do I find that? Where is it? And it, what the plays give me the ability to do is to make a resource page where I like to call it like a one-stop shop. So if we have a product training on one of our products, we have sales training on one of our products, we'll make a product training play. We'll make a sales training play because we just partnered with Corporate Vision. So we have a lot of the methodology plays in there. So it just makes a big difference. I think that was the biggest thing. You know, I had to stop myself today. Like, I'll start to build out a course and be like, oh no, I got to do a play first and then I'll build out the course. And that was one thing, a commitment I made to myself, is like, I won't build out any more courses unless there's a play that goes along with that. And that gives them the ability just to go back and refresh on that content. And we're working, one of our big initiatives this year is to use the Salesforce integration and integrate those plays within Salesforce so they can see those when they need them. So it's timely, it's in front of them, it's a refresh of knowledge. So
very cool. I love how you used HighSpot's training and coaching and Corporate Vision's sales methodology by leveraging the HighSpot Marketplace application to drive that training across your teams. Tell us a little bit about what that process was like.
I've done launches before sales methodology, and it's usually a good workshop, and you do a post-workshop activity, and the reps see it, you know, one time or two times, and it's not really reinforced. What the CBI partnership has done for us with HighSpot is to have that online training first, and we've gone through a lot of the methodology training, like the first two steps of the methodology training, and we'll do them. Assign it to the team. The training is awesome too. It's really well done, and it's up to date, and it's very, very well orchestrated. It's very interactive. It grabs their attention. And then once they took that training, we will do a live workshop, and then we have post stuff. Like we just did a launch of our operations, why change operation message. And we did first the why change training online, which is, you know, general, tells you about the concepts. Then we had a live workshop. And then after that, now we're having, I built out a operations change message certification in HighSpot where they need to identify a company they're going to pitch that operations message to. They need to fill out a why change planner in HighSpot, and they take that planner and they do their deck and all the stuff they found from doing that deck. Then they have to record it, and then it's going to be sent out for feedback, and then they have to actually go all the way through and pitch that company live at the end of it. And that's how they get certified in it. And then we have gongs, so we can listen to the recordings and calibrate there as we need it. But I think that a lot of stuff is we always, you know, we have like a bunch of different messaging, and I think it really helped us get aligned on how we're going to talk to our customers pre, during, and post sale. And I think we're actually have our customer success team now using HighSpot, and they've been on some of the Why Change trainings with us. And it's really neat when you have that ability to bring everyone together on that same message. And I, like I said, I've rolled out methodologies before, and it's, you know, hit or miss. It's they adapt for a little while and they go back to their old traits. Well, now, even like when I build out a play, it's built out with CBI methodology in it. And I think it really, really helps. And they have a better understanding of how that call flow and that messaging works when they see that.
The next question I wanted to just kind of understand from you is, where do you see training making the biggest impact in your business right now?
Right now, at this very moment, I would say we're getting ready to launch a new product in September. We have a pretty complicated industry, and it's a lot to learn. And I think without training, reps would be winging it and they would try to understand. And I think it's making the biggest impact now because I have my product marketing person, like I said, who is like my right-hand person, is in HighSpot. I'm in HighSpot. We're putting everything together in HighSpot. We have the ability to do the recording pitches and have them pitch the new product. And yeah, I think it's making the biggest impact right there right now. And also the plays. Like I said, I was a late adopter to plays, and I wish I had done it earlier because they make a huge impact. Like, and I love the fact that you can see all the analytics behind that play. You can see who's looking at what and what content they're using. So that's a big lever to pull when you're trying to figure out, hey, do they like my training? What are they, you know? And you can always send out a survey, but having the analytics behind that play to see what they're actually looking at and see even how many people have viewed it. I mean, that's golden to me, where in a training is great. You train and they certify and then they're done. But to be able to have a place where they can jump back out of that training and review the stuff they've done and go back when they really need it, right? Because I think that's when the rubber hits the road, is when they have the training, but when they get in front of that customer and it's like, okay, it's go time. I love the fact that they could look at a play 10 minutes before they get on that call and give themselves a refresher and get themselves ready and ready to go on that call. So I think it makes a big difference.
Absolutely. I think it's phenomenal how plays help guide reps in real time, because a lot of training is easily forgotten after an amount of time. And absolutely. So I think you're spot on that plays help to give those reps that real time training right before they walk into a discussion with a buyer.
Yep.
Now, last question for you, Ryan.
Sure.
You have built a lot of momentum around leveraging HighSpot, and you talked about this just a moment ago with the scorecard analytics on plays, but how have you leveraged analytics to make strategic decisions related to your enablement strategy?
Like I said just previously in the plays, I think that's one of the biggest places we are leveraging the scorecards of those plays and looking and seeing what the reps are looking at, right? And what they're not looking at, even more importantly, right? We think we have it figured out and we know what the reps need and what they want, but the analytics help me really fine tune that to see what they are really looking at. And, you know, sometimes it's depressing when you put something out there and you don't get as many views as you thought you were going to go on it, or you put a piece of content out there that doesn't get any views. But at the end of the day, how we make them better is from them providing feedback to us and really telling us what's working and what's not working. And a lot of times you can't corner the reps to get that back, that feedback back from them. So the analytics help me understand really what was important, what's not important, what needs refreshing, what do we need to retrain on, that stuff. So I think that's one of the biggest things.
I love that. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. It was fun. Thank you.
To our audience, thank you for listening to this episode of the Win-Win Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more insights on how you can maximize enablement success with HighSpot.